up 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 6 Today, I'm joined by Kalindi from the Housewives Heretics podcast, and also joined by Nimade, also known as That African Butterfly on Instagram. Thanks for joining me, you two.
Thanks for having us.
So, Nimade, you haven't been on the pod before, so why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, first of all, I apologize for the coughing. I'm getting over COVID. but my name is Nimade, and I'm mostly on Instagram with That African Butterfly. I do a lot of lives. I talk a lot about mental health and self-love. And I also like making fun reels and funny reels about things that are relatable. I'm also addicted to Bravo. So I have a podcast and YouTube series called Bold Black and Addicted to Bravo, where I get with friends and we talk about different like life topics, but through the lens of Bravo people and the Bravo cast. And then also every now and then we'll do like a get together to sum up the series. So that's a little bit about what I do.
Yeah, all three of us are Bravo super fans, so I highly recommend everyone follows you two on Instagram. And then I found out that you also love the Sex Lives of College Girls.
I do. I'm a huge Mindy fan as well. So I was excited when she was making this.
So Kalindi and I have talked about this, and our college experience was not like Essex at all. What about yours?
Same. Because I did 2 years community college and I lived at home for it. So it definitely was not like that. I wish it was a little bit more like that. I tried to squeeze in my own moments of that. But like I said, I lived at home with a super overprotective immigrant mother. So it was not quite the wild experience they had.
No naked parties?
No naked parties.
But that is also why you wanted to talk about Parents Weekend, right? Because you related to the immigrant parent reunion, sort of.
I did. I related to that. And then also to sort of Kimberly's struggle, because I grew up in Canandaigua, New York, which is like very conservative upstate New York, but it's by like this gorgeous lake. I think it's like one of the most expensive lakes to live in the country. And so I grew up around a lot of money, but from the side that did not have money. So I felt a lot for both of them during that episode, Kimberly and Bella.
And this episode was different from all the other ones. And I think it was a real turning point because we've seen the girls like fight with each other and have separate storylines. But this was the first time they were all together and supporting each other and bonding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it. I love their dynamic together and that every episode they're getting closer and forming real friendships beyond just being roommates.
Yeah.
And it was most of the episode was the dinner, right? That they had with everyone's parents.
Yeah.
So we will dive right in. So the episode starts with is it a floor meeting in the dorm or is that that's their RA, right? That
yeah.
Scented man. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, that was the RA.
So they're all excited, I guess, about their families coming. And so they agree to, well, everyone's, I think, most excited about Whitney's mom. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to say, though, like during that meeting, I love that they all were like, OK, let's get on board with the lies that we told our parents.
Because that was my favorite part.
I think it's just so interesting because, you know, everyone gets to the whole I'm 18 now. I'm an adult. I can do what I want. But not really. Not yeah. really. Because your parents still control the finances or you still care a lot about what they think. And so you're still lying even at that age to be a fake adult. So that was amusing for me.
Yeah, the lying really never stops. I don't know about you guys.
It's just the type changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a question about Bella, because hers through the whole thing, she was like, I'm a neuroscience major. Like, my parents think I'm doing this. But like, what is she majoring in? Like, what kind of, I know she said she was taking any of the like 101 type classes or intro, but have we been told any of that?
I think that maybe just, I think she's just focusing on comedy. So she, I don't even know if she's declared a major, or I would assume it'd be like a writing.
Yeah, I would think either writing or liberal arts, just a general liberal arts major, since she is focused on the comedy.
Which is probably more important for her career anyways.
Yeah.
I did think Leighton saying that her lie was that she gets textbooks from Net-a-Porter. And I don't believe her dad would fall for that, though.
What's Net-a-Porter anyways? What was that?
It's like, is it just a clothing website, or is it also like accessories?
I think, I don't know. I've never been on there.
Okay, so
it must be too expensive. That must be where she gets all of her gorgeous tweed suits that I can't afford.
No, it's definitely like designer stuff. And I think I only know it because housewives have talked about it on Instagram. But I always thought it was pronounced Net-a-Porter. So I'm really glad I heard her say
that. Well, I wonder if like maybe she knows her dad isn't the type to really check the statements that carefully.
Yeah, I think he doesn't really check the statements at all.
That makes sense. So Kalindi and I have talked about religion before as it relates to Kimberly, I think. And so I had a friend also in college who would tell her parents she went to church every week. And as far as I know, I don't think they ever caught on.
Mm. Well, I lived at home, so I had to go to church every week. I wasn't allowed to lie about it. I did when I first moved to Florida. When I first moved out after college, I moved to Florida, and I did at first actually lie about it, to be honest.
Did they ever find out?
No. I mean, eventually I grew up there and told her I just wasn't going to go anymore and my reasons for not going. So I'm sure she suspected that I wasn't going all the time.
I think Kimberly's mom is smart enough to suspect also.
Yeah.
Maybe just like let it go. Jocelyn, who is a TikTok star, says that she has a fake ID business and an OnlyFans. And I was like, wow, she must be making a lot with
Larsa Pippen over here.
Yeah. All her income streams.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
She's rich. She doesn't even need college.
Right.
And the actress who plays her, I think it's Lolo Spencer. You follow her at It's Lolo Love on Instagram. She posts a lot of really funny videos and like cool fashion. So she seems like a fun, she's such a fun character. And I think like you could tell from the actor.
That's cool. Yeah, I love her character. She cracks me up.
And she's in small doses, but she like kills it every time she has an interaction with anyone.
Really? Yeah, I love that thing about all of them, all the side characters.
Mm-hmm. And I just like that they gave her so much confidence, because I think we're so used to, especially disabled bodied people, being portrayed a certain way. You know, like having the insecurities and different things, which is definitely part of it. But I love that she came in like fully herself. Fully outrageous. It was awesome.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen a character like that on TV before. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, she's a star.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one totally fine with the naked party.
She sure was.
So the episode starts after that, after the credits, with I guess it's sort of a get together at the Black Affinity House, which. Yeah, so when they showed it from the outside, I think it's called the Katherine Johnson House, who was the first Black woman to work at NASA, I think, like one of the hidden figures type. So I thought that was cool to put that in. I'm going to call her Sherry Shepherd, because Senator Chase, right, is what she...
Yeah.
Her name is. Can we just call her Sherry?
Yeah. I'm cool with that.
Okay. So did she just make a speech there? I think this is like the aftermath, right? When
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she was like the big deal, you know, to come and make a speech. And then obviously she's busy, so she's got to bounce.
So where did Kimberly get that outfit?
The dashiki? Probably
on eBay.
Yeah.
bless her heart for trying. It's so hard sometimes, right? Like finding that line between showing your appreciation and cultural appropriation. So I think I'm glad that they didn't get upset, because sometimes it's written in where people get upset, and sometimes people do, but you could tell she came from a good place with it. So
yeah, she just wanted to connect. She said she's sweet.
I thought it was very cute when she walked away. She like curtsied, like she's royalty or something.
I love her.
And I feel like we got from the very first episode that Whitney and her mom, like her mom is super busy and doesn't always have time for her. And so like it happened again, because she was like, can we, I think she wanted to meet before the dinner and her mom was like, oh, I'm busy.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
Yeah.
It's always sad with parents and people who just don't have that time.
Leighton's dad arranging that leaves jumping up and down picture cracked me up.
Everyone take 30% more leaves. I was dying.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that, of course, to get those pictures, you have to have like fake leaves, like specially made.
Yeah. I think people just like usually use what they've got. Try not to find the wet leaves, I assume. That's what I would do, at least. I would not be buying fake leaves.
Absolutely. Well, or they Photoshop the leaves. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, but I would see her mom being like, oh, I don't want to get leaves off the ground. Mm-hmm. That's disgusting.
Absolutely.
I bet it turned out to be a cute picture.
Yeah, it was cute. The one that they like showed. And he's like, it's perfect. Perfect New England family.
I'm sure that's exactly what it looked like too.
And at this point, I thought Leighton's dad was harmless, like, because all we've seen is him being excited that his daughter was going to the same school he did, right?
Yeah. I still kind of think he's overall harmless, but I think they definitely made a point this episode, and we'll probably talk about it more at dinner, of like making him more stereotypical of what you would, I guess, expect from a rich New England father, you know?
Right. Yeah, we'll get into it. I was very disappointed, because I thought he was cute, like, the first few episodes, like, clearly excited for his daughter, and mm-hmm. So I guess during Parents Weekend, you go to class with your parents, which I guess makes sense. Bella has some balls, though, to just walk into a classroom and pretend she's there.
Bravest thing ever. I don't know if she thought, because, you know, usually your freshman year, the classes are so big, especially the sciences and stuff. They're so giant. Like, I definitely don't think my bio or my chem teachers even knew who I was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's why she thought she could get away with it. And she would have.
She totally would have, that awful professor. So then we go to the dinner, and so this whole episode, there's like this, Leighton's mom is flirting with her son, Nico. I don't understand this. Was this supposed to be funny? Like, I am so confused still.
I think it was just showing how like screwed up her family is. Like, I don't think it's funny. It's more like cringe. Like, no wonder Leighton is not comfortable with who she is, and she has no one to go to.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. I thought they were setting it up to be like it, like that's his stepmom or something, but no, it was
she birthed him, allegedly. Yeah.
Just creepy relationship.
And the brother sister are like very close also, so.
Which I honestly like seeing more of the parents, it explains why they are so close as well, because they really just had each other, because their parents are.
Yeah. Definitely, because we had talked about that in the beginning, like, is this a normal brother-sister relationship, or is this creepy? But it definitely makes more sense now.
Because, they only had each other. Did you guys ever watch the show How to Get Away with Murder?
Yeah.
Like, the first couple seasons.
Yeah, I kind of turned bad after that. I swear there was like a similar dynamic between like the rich family. Now I can't remember. That show used to be so good, though.
It was mm-hmm. so good.
So good.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah. So Whitney's dad, she says in the beginning, is a well-known bassist in the Bay Area. That was such a funny way to describe him.
Right.
And we know from like watching television before that Whitney keeps saying he's going to be there, and we all know that he's not going to show up. So I felt really bad for her.
Yeah.
Kalindi, did you say in another episode that you didn't know where Kimberly got that green sparkly dress she was wearing?
Maybe, because I did love it. I noted it again.
I love that dress.
That I was obsessed.
I thought it was really pretty. I thought it was, okay, what did you think of, I think it was Layton's, maybe all of them were like, oh, are you going to a party or something?
Are you going to an event?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot for the location. Like, it was a lot for the location, but overall it was a very pretty dress.
And I think her mom's dress too. Like, it was very mother of the bride.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they were like, where are you going?
Right.
That's definitely how my mom would dress, but I feel like it was kind of rude to be like, are you going somewhere? I don't know.
Yeah, like if I was going somewhere, I would tell you I had to leave early, like Ramona.
I think that just points to like the obliviousness of Layton's parents, though. Like, they truly live in their own universe, and there are lots of signs of that.
That makes sense. And Kimberly's mom has those purse hooks, which I really want one. That sounds great.
I love
those. You've never had one?
No.
Oh my gosh, they were all the fad, and you could get them anywhere.
Yeah, they were really big for a while. I loved them.
Yeah.
I missed this entire thing.
Yeah, we'll send you one. Because you can't put your purse on the floor, money out the door.
Wait, do you guys come from a culture where you were taught that?
Yeah. I never put my purse on the floor.
I don't know, like, I know, like, preferably not, more so because of germs. I've heard that saying before. It wasn't one that, like, you know, we adhered to a lot, but I've heard that saying before.
My first job, my coworker was Puerto Rican, and we shared an office, and she would always flip out if I put my purse on the ground, but I'd never known of someone who was, like, so adamant about it before her. But Kalindi, you would never.
Yeah, I would, like, set it on my lap before I would put it on the floor.
But putting it on another chair is okay, right?
Yeah, of course. Okay. It just can't be on the floor.
I thought that was so cute that her mom wanted to get gifts for everyone.
Angel.
Her mom is so sweet.
Yeah. And Whitney's dad wasn't there, but Kimberly's dad wasn't either. And they said, she just said, oh, your dad's going to want a picture of the bread or something.
Because he loves art.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's that he had to work. I do think it's interesting that they played into the dynamic of like the poor mom being more concerned and more loving and sweeter, and like the rich mom being, you know, all those things that people affiliate with them. It's interesting that they stuck to those stereotypes for the characters.
I didn't even think of the have to work, but like, that's so true. Of course the rich family can just fly wherever, whenever, and not have to worry about, you know, like missing a shift or something.
Yeah. And I just thought they couldn't afford both plane tickets. Is what I was assuming.
That would make sense too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad her mom wasn't like, where's your dad? She seems like someone who would ask mean questions. Layton's mom, I mean.
Yeah.
And then Bella's mom was like, oh, these are so clever. You should invent something like this. And clearly she was talking about Spanx. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about Spanx for a second though?
Yes.
You remember that, I can't remember the woman's name, Sarah something, the CEO. So she was in the news like a few weeks ago because.
Yes.
What was it? She gave her employees like a free round trip plane ticket.
Yeah. Like they had like a certain amount, I think, and got a free plane ticket to like anywhere they wanted to go. Because some people are like using it for their honeymoon and different things like that, which I think is awesome.
How did I not hear of this? I thought you were going to say, like, a terrible story.
No, it's amazing. She's so great.
Oh my gosh, what a queen. I'm going to apply right now.
Okay, but I have a thing where, like, yeah, I know she was very, like, celebrated for creating this whole thing, but also shapewear kind of hurts if you wear it all the time. So, I don't know. I don't want the idea that you have to wear it.
It's interesting that she gets all of this praise for, like, girdles and those things have been around forever. So yeah. I'm plus size, so I've always been chunky. So anyone like listening to this who's chunky knows that their mothers were putting them in these little girdles for church, and having to stuff everything in as you get ready. So like they've been around for so long. I mean, I think Spanx are more comfortable.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they're more popular, but it's not like she invented them.
And they're really thick. It always reminds me of So Magnolias when Dolly Parton says, I haven't left the house without Lycra on these thighs since I was 14.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, I am a big investor in Spanx. I love that they have clothes now. I love their leggings. I love bathing suits. I love it all.
Well,
I'm at the opposite. I have thrown it to the wind. I'm like, forget it. You're going to get some rolls. I don't care. I'm going to breathe.
Oh, I'll suffocate myself all day.
Well, your organs are going to get all moved around. I read a story about that. I don't know
probably if that's true, though. I mean, well, whatever it takes.
Maybe try Yummy Tummy.
I just hate Heather Thompson. I can't support it.
Heather, but that's another conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do a whole thing. I actually don't think, I think she sold the company or they pushed her out or it was like a big drama. So if you like Heather, don't support Yummy Tummy now, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. Spanx. Okay, so
I want to make a note really quick.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. I'm going back for a moment. When they were at the class with Bella's parents, and it's this thing that parents do, but I think especially like immigrant parents, because they're so like top tier thing is getting married. So it's like you have this daughter who's in college who's showing you her neuroscience class, and like the first thing the mom wants to talk about are all the smart boys in the class. Like, I was like, come on. But I just think it's interesting, and well, on my end, slightly frustrating how it's still like the most important thing is finding a man to be your husband or partner. Like, even in that setting, that's what the mom focused on first.
Okay, that's interesting you say that. Do you feel like from that age? Okay, so my perspective is I saw that, but I don't think my mom would ever say that to me when I was 18, because it was very like, oh, you have to finish college. Don't get distracted by boys. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of surprised her mom said it.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is because they are so focused on you finishing school and not getting caught up with boys, because they even said it at the dinner, like,
right,
Bella doesn't, you know, bother with boys. But at the same time, they still want you to know that finding a husband is like your top priority. It's like, yeah, they want you to finish school, but finish school with like a boy lined up to get married right away, because that's super important.
It's very inconsistent. It's like, don't talk to boys for years and years and years, and then it's like, wait, why aren't you married?
Exactly.
Okay, so it was, I think it said that Leighton was the one who picked the restaurant. I think they said it maybe early. Yeah, they said it at the Black Affinity House. So did you think it was insensitive for Leighton to do that? Or do you think she just like didn't even think about it?
I think she did not even think about it.
I think she didn't think about it. And also, I think because of what she's used to, that because her mom still complained. Her mom was still like, this is the nicest place. Like, I think she literally was just trying to find the nicest place. And because obviously for her family, it's not that super nice and not that super expensive, I think she would have looked at the prices and not seen it as a problem, versus like if there had been like a 5-star restaurant where her, like at the level her family is used to, I think maybe that would have clicked to her, like, oh, maybe this is too expensive. But I think for her and the life she's grown up with, those prices weren't expensive. So she didn't think that it would be a problem. That's just how I read it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was kind of curious what the prices were, because Kimberly says, like, I don't remember if she said a dish, or but she said something like, that's more expensive than my mom's plane ticket. And I was like, wait, did your mom get a deal on plane tickets? Or
Yeah, that sentence didn't make sense because earlier she was like, some places had it at $3 signs and some places had it at $4, which I related to because whenever I get invited, or like, especially when I was younger, like would get invited to places, like I look it up. Actually, yeah. No, I still do it now. I
still do it.
Same. And just to make sure I like I to know what I'm going to eat and all of that, that I like stuff on it. But I was trying to look at the menu and I think I saw something that was like $45, but I'm assuming that there were wines and champagnes. You know, when you can buy like bottles that are $1,200 and you're like, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you saw like a glass of wine was $45.
Yeah. Or I think maybe one of the meals too. Yeah. Like I think that it was probably like for Kimberly and her mom, if neither one of them drink, like maybe less than $100.
Oh,
but close to like, right. You know, like 150, probably like one mm-hmm. between one and 200.
I didn't even think of the alcohol, but I can totally see Leighton's dad definitely ordering like bottles of wine for the table. And like my parents don't drink, but they would never like say anything, obviously. Yeah. But that would really drive the bill up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
I don't think we saw any alcohol though.
No, but I'm sure she like looked at the menu and saw like bottle prices, because that would explain something being higher than her mom's plane ticket. Like, if there's like a 200 bottle of wine, it might cost more than a plane ticket.
Yeah. And I think that we didn't see them really order at all, but I know there were wine glasses on the table as water glasses for the girls. And I can't imagine Leighton's parents not drinking.
Right.
And you know, when you go out to dinner in a group and it's like you order, you know, that whole thing, like you order a salad and someone else orders steak and you have to like split it evenly. I was just feeling for them.
Yeah, I wonder if they did split it evenly, or because I hate that. Like, I would rather just have my own bill, or usually I just will pay for everything because I'm a pushover and I'm a psychopath. So I usually just always pick up the bill now. No, not that I could back then. I would have been breaking out in hives as well as like Kimberly.
Yeah, because they all got their credit cards out. I would believe they split it evenly, but I would be so pissed off, like, on behalf of my parents.
Yeah, because you try to get little things and you're like, water. Yeah, that stresses me out a lot.
Because I think if I was, like, in high school going to college, like, I mean, we went out to Indian restaurants a lot, but, like, if we were going to go out to eat, it would be, like, Chili's. So, you know, not the same as whatever this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steakhouse was.
I'm a fan of everyone covering their own bill, unless it's like, I know I'm with a group where we're all like kind of in the same place and like.
Yeah. But like get your own like separate bills, not just equally. Yeah. Splitting it, because that's annoying.
And then when you're with like people you don't know that well, it's like, oh, I want to bring it up, but I don't want to be rude. Well, I don't know. I haven't been going on a ton of group dinners in the last like 2 years.
Right? So
like,
true.
2 years at this point. So I don't even know how to socialize anymore.
So Bella's mom does say, because her parents are trying to speak in Hindi and her dad's like, oh, this place is too white or something. I think he said something about a salad. And she was like, it's okay. There's biryani in our hotel fridge. Mm-hmm. Definitely my parents would bring their own food. And when they go to hotels, they always have to ask for a fridge. It's so embarrassing.
You got to be prepared.
Yeah.
I used to carry hot sauce in my purse.
Oh, I would love to see her mom bring out a bottle of hot sauce.
Yeah. You never know. I usually eat before.
Yeah.
I think I would have too. Leighton's dad says he wants to pay, but did something bring that on, or he just wanted to like show everyone how rich he was?
I don't think that anything brought it on. I know that he said he would pay and then they were all like, no. Actually, I think maybe they were talking about the prices and then he said he would treat everyone and she said, great. And then the other parents were like, no, we'll split it.
Yeah. I think that it was kind of a setup. I think it was a flex on him, like, you know, trying to look cool and exert his richness and dominance. But then I also feel like it was kind of a setup for Sherry Shepherd, because how later he asked her if she flies private on taxpayer money.
Oh, so he was trying to see if she would say something about the gift thing.
Yeah, and be like, oh, I bought her dinner.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Yeah.
And like leak it to Fox News or something.
Yes.
Okay, I wouldn't put it past him. And then this is where I think Layton and Kimberly are in the bathroom and she gives her her credit card and she's like, just take it. And I thought that was like the nicest thing she's done the whole season.
It was.
That was so sweet. Yeah. And for her to follow her in there and just know that she was nervous about it and anxious, for her to pick up on that, I thought was very great.
And then, of course, Layton's mom is like, so who has a boyfriend? I would be so embarrassed if my friend's mom said that, because I know my parents would be like, she's too busy for boys.
She's a bookworm. She's the biggest bookworm.
I love when they all started laughing at that.
Yes, seriously. I would be so embarrassed too, though.
And Bella was so quick to like shut it down.
Yeah.
No, it was, I'm not surprised she asked. Like, you could tell, like, no offense, but where her priorities are. So I'm sure that's what she wanted to know the most.
Yeah, you could say offense, though. I'm sure she thinks that's what Layton should be concentrating on.
Probably, yeah.
And then Kimberly kind of gets nervous because, is it because she's looking right at Nico? So she gets like a little flustered?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, because they were sleeping together already at this point, right?
Not yet.
Mm-mm. Oh, see, I didn't think so, but then at the end of the episode, it seemed like they were going, or maybe that's when they went to sleep.
It's the first time.
It was the first time. Okay. Yeah, it seemed pretty quick to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we don't know how many times he's tutored her, guys.
True. We have cameras at SIPs.
And she's already lost her virginity to an animal. Like. I would want my second time to come up quick, too.
Yeah, true. But yeah, I'm sure having him across from her makes her very flustered. When I was around that age, I had a family friend. So, like, we were around them all the time, but I had a thing for the son. And we had a mini fling once. Don't tell anyone. But, so, yes, I felt her pain because I would get very flustered around them, too. But then, like, your parents are around. It's very awkward.
Yeah.
I totally thought you were going to say you had a crush on the dad.
No.
Oh my gosh. That would be amazing.
I had a crush on a professor once and I would always, like, it would be so hard for me to talk in office hours because I was just so self-conscious.
I had a crush on one of my professors.
Yeah, I had a crush on a professor. Still remember to this day, my business law one. He was so cute. He had dimples and everything.
Yeah, I think that I just like the like power position or something because I literally fell in love with every professor.
Mm-hmm. And I love the intelligence. Like, that's the thing for me. Like, and even to this day, like, if a guy is like teaching me something or sounding like really knowledgeable in the area, like, it's so hot to me.
It's so hot.
I wonder, I can totally see the show going there with like a professor student hookup.
Oh, talk nerdy to me.
One of them, probably. But they did already do Whitney and the...
Yeah, the coach.
Oh, gross.
So, it would be interesting if Whitney also ended up having a thing with Professor, since they've laid the groundwork for her having daddy issues.
Yeah, we'll just fully explore her daddy issues.
I didn't even... Like, I guess I forgot that in my first watch that... or maybe I didn't even pick it up that... her dad not showing up and like the putting him on a pedestal and that's mm-hmm. how clearly her mm-hmm. Dalton issues. Yeah, so I think this is when Whitney's dad is like, oh, I have a gig. It was so random. Like, he waited until the last minute to say he has a... It didn't even matter that he had some last minute thing come up because he would have already been on the plane. Like,
right. Yes, that made me so mad. Like, why wait all day when you already knew?
Yeah, this is the story of my life. So I was very angry as well.
Yeah, he never had any intention of coming.
Yeah, they're liars.
Yeah, like, he just kept her disappointed all day. He could have said something way earlier. So on top of being a liar, he's a coward, which most liars are. And can you tell I'm heated about this? But it really
made
me so annoyed because it's like, she spent the whole day having her expectations, you know, be up when she could have said something way earlier in the day and she would have known how to manage, you know, her day and her feelings. Instead, he waited till the last minute. I hate that.
It's the worst.
And she was so excited, like telling everyone, oh, don't order yet. My dad is coming. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the maturity then to like regulate my emotions around that.
Yeah.
And he's probably really charming because you'd kind of do, because it wasn't ever my dad. I never had expectations of him, but my mom did this constantly. And I would always say, like, just tell me now. Just tell me now. Like, don't wait till the last minute. Don't embarrass me. But yep. She'd still lie. So it really doesn't matter what you say. And I don't know. I guess you just hope so much that they will be there that you do get excited. And if he's a musician, he's probably really like fun to be around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like such a difference from her mom who she feels like she can't talk to.
Yeah.
So poor girl.
Yeah. I felt really bad.
She'll establish boundaries one day.
Yeah.
We'll see the, I don't know, 10-year reunion.
Yes.
Layton and her mom are in the bathroom and her mom's being really bitchy about the purse hooks. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be one of those things where it turns out Kimberly's mom was like in one of the stalls, but they didn't go there, thankfully.
Thank God. Yeah. Me too. That's what I always worry about. Why do they always have these scenes in shows and movies where people talk openly in a bathroom? I'm like, don't you know anyone could be in there?
Yeah. Anyone. I mean, in this case, though, I guess they would know if they left her at the table or not.
I guess. Yeah. But honestly, even in shows when it should be that obvious, I swear there have been instances.
Yeah. They could have been in the stall when her mom walked in.
True.
And walked in a stall. I don't know. Maybe I have like crazy paranoia about this, but this is like one of my things. And I will never say someone's name out loud in public or last name, especially. But like where I'm from is so little, you just can't even say a name at all. Cause I'm like, you don't know. Their grandma's in here.
Yeah. I just know. Yeah, I've watched enough TV to know just never do that.
Right. And
like, but it's so true where Layton was like, couldn't you just wait until later to throw it out? Like, right. That's so rude. Yeah.
Well, she just really gives zero F's is the thing. And I think that a lot of people who have money are like that. I've really, over the years, come to realize just how self-centered everybody is. And it's not even always to be mean and to be rude. Like, people really truly live in their own universe and don't see others unless they directly impact them. And it's very interesting watching people, especially like on shows like this, but reality TV as well, watching how they navigate that when you realize like everyone's just really self-centered.
Yeah. She belongs on Roni.
Yeah. She'd be best friends with Ramona.
Or they'd be enemies.
No. I think they'd be enemies.
Yeah. Because they're too much alike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When she was throwing out the purse hook thing, I thought that I was very fixated that Kimberly's mom would figure it out. I was like, what if she goes in the bathroom and throws her, you know, something away, sees it.
Yeah.
So then Layton, I guess, is pissed off about that and is like embarrassed about her family. And she's like, well, something like, you're just an anorexic mom who shoplifts, and you could see her mom. Baseball.
Yeah. Well, the truth hurts sometimes.
But then what did it mean when her mom was like, you're exactly like me?
I was wondering that too. Maybe she means that. Oh, no, go ahead.
Go finish it.
I was going to say maybe she, because here's the thing, right? Like, so we see rich people and we're like, oh my God, their lives are so fabulous. But we also know that most of the time they have issues and problems and have their own coping mechanisms for them. Hers apparently is anorexia and shoplifting. So I think maybe she means that those are her, I don't know if vices are the right word, to help her just get through. So when she says like Layton is just like her, maybe she realizes that Layton has her own things that she does to kind of like get through. Cause I don't know if we want to pretend like she has mother's intuition and knows that like Layton may have like a secret or whatever, but I'm sure she can see signs of things that Layton does kind of just get through the, I don't know, the drudges of being rich. I'm sure it's horrible, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think too. And basically that she's miserable in her life, but not miserable enough to leave it. Like, they still mm-hmm. want to be in that society. They still want to have the pretty face on, even yeah. though they're miserable.
Yeah.
Do you think either of her parents or Nico have any idea that she could be gay?
I mean, Nico certainly doesn't seem to have any idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like she must have just hit it really well.
Yeah, and I don't think they really care about, you know what I mean? I don't think they really care about each other, and they're not really paying attention to each other's lives to the point where they're like, huh, she doesn't really date guys. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she's still so young. It's not, if she has a roommate at 40, they might start being suspicious.
If she's always bringing home her friend and her roommate, they might start. But yeah.
For every holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And she did say in another scene, I think she was like, I was hooking up with New York bartenders when I was 14 or something. So I'm sure she did have like high school boyfriends.
Yeah, yeah. I picture her high school life like Gossip Girl in my mind.
Yes. Well.
Yeah.
She went to, did she say she went to Spence, I think? In the Kappa episode, I think she said Spence. So, yeah. Okay, so remember how before we were like, we think Leighton's dad could have just been like trying to poke at Cherry Shepherd. Mm-hmm. I think she was doing the same thing where she was like, what's everyone majoring in? I majored in African American women's studies. I felt like she knew that would annoy him, and that's why she said it.
Probably.
Yeah, I think that she definitely, they both just are taking jabs at each other nonstop, because when she said she flew private because of the death threats and said, you must know what it's like when people want you dead. I was like, okay, that's brilliant. And also, I thought they were going to like actually throw hands at the center.
But just Leighton's dad is such a dick when he was like, oh, what's with these majors that have studies behind them? Like, what did you major in? Like, you know, alcohol or I don't know. So yeah. So binge drinking.
Essex. The history of Essex. That's all he cares about.
New England.
Yeah. But I think he kind of did that on purpose. Like the way how you were saying earlier, like he seems so harmless and so like really nice and blah, blah, blah. Because I think that that's how those types of men come off. You know what I mean? Like they're just, oh, so nice. And as long as you don't dig any deeper or go below the surface, they're just like happy-go-lucky, nice guys. And not that they aren't, right? Like the dichotomy of it is that they are nice, but they also are not nice. And it's not even like in an intentional to be a jackass way. It's just like, they're so stuck in the back in my day. Like what happened to old majors? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think like that really comes across. Like it's not like he's like a jerk without even meaning to be a jerk.
He probably knows like no other way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's just some people who just have such a hard time with change and really just can't see like progress. And I feel like that's kind of what they were. Cause there really are those people who like don't understand like this new age we live in where there's these degrees and studies and there's influencers and like, what do you mean they don't have a 9-to-5 job? And like, it's just, I try not to get frustrated by them by thinking that it must be hard for them. Like that's how I keep my sanity. Cause sometimes I want to like scream when I hear people complain about progress things. Cause I'm like, hello, that's how the world works. Things progress, things change, things grow. And so I get frustrated when people seem to not understand progress, but I just try to taper that by reminding myself that it's probably hard for them because it's all new. So
yeah, well, you're being really kind about it.
Do what?
I said you're being really kind about it.
Yeah, me too, because I was gonna say that this is the exact guy that someone says, oh, he was racist to me, and people are like, oh no, he's so nice, he's yep. so nice, he would never, he didn't mean it, are you sure he said that, are you sure he didn't mean it that way, and that like I want to run over with my car.
Yeah.
Which is when that guy, because I think it was the last episode where that guy from the Catullan shows Bella the porn, and
yes,
and everyone's gonna be like, oh, I mean, spoiler, whatever. Everyone's gonna be like, no, he's so nice, he's my roommate, he would never do that.
Yeah, because that's what happens all the time, and it's a hard situation because you know a person, but there's also sometimes where you just have to believe the person who is saying, you know, what, who had the experience.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
It's so frustrating, especially from like a racial viewpoint. Like when I feel like one of the biggest like stops in our progress is how much time we have to spend convincing people of racism and of issues and that things happen. Like, we could just all agree on stuff, we'd be able to move forward. And actually, right. It's fitting that it's the day after Martin Luther King's birthday. Yeah, that's like one of his quotes. It's like the biggest I don't want to misquote it, but essentially he says like the biggest thing that stifles our progress isn't like the extreme racists, it's like the moderates, the people yes. who want like justice and the people who want peace and to keep everything like kumbaya.
Yeah, the people a bigger problem. That would rather be comfortable than make progress.
Yeah. And it's true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And plus, most of the people that posted those quotes or whatever are
the 3 out of 4 white people that were not supportive of yeah. Dr. King when he was alive.
Oh, absolutely.
And that he was talking about in his letters from Birmingham jail. The exact people. I get so mad at that day.
Oh, yeah. When I remember, like, shortly after, remember all the stuff with Colin Kaepernick happened? And yeah. then there was like an MLK day, and I was like, I don't want to see it. I went on Facebook because I was so annoyed. I was like, I don't want to see anyone who is posting mean things about the peaceful protest, because there's like that, and there was like the people wearing the shirts and stuff, and people were constantly saying stuff. I'm like, if you had something to say about any of the peaceful protests that have been happening, I don't want to see you post anything about MLK, because you obviously would not have supported him during his day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whew. Oh, okay. So right after this is when Abella has no luck. I cannot believe that her professor happened to be at that same restaurant at the same time.
Right.
And I loved it. She said it could be hella awkward. What if his wife's leaving him or telling him she's gay?
And then I think her dad was like, oh, that's nonsense, which is such a word. Like, I can definitely hear like my dad saying.
Yeah, I would have fought a little harder if I was her.
Me too.
To not go over. I would have been like, it's so rude. He's not at work. Because they're like, it's a sign of respect. I would have been like, it's not a sign of respect. He's off the clock and he doesn't want students coming right. up to him every 5 minutes. I would have fought on that one.
Yeah, he has to lecture. Then he has office hours. Like, give him some peace.
Yeah.
And I think they would have backed down because they want to be respectful of his time.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe she just panicked.
Yeah, and I don't think she thought they were going to go with her. I think she thought, like, maybe if I can just play it off and come sit back down.
Yeah, because up until her dad walked up, he was like, okay, thank you.
Yeah, and even if he would have said, like, you're not my student to her, like, okay, yeah, I know, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sadly, the dad does walk up to give him the subway card. Have we heard what her parents do? Did they mention the subway thing before?
I'm assuming they own a franchise or something, right? How do you get that card?
Because I feel like in the first episode when they move in, her dad says something to the senator like, oh, can I take a picture with you and put it on the wall of my restaurant? Which I don't think you're allowed to do in a Subway franchise. So I bet they own their own. Well, they're big, you know, probably own tons of restaurants.
Yeah. The big Subway.
And they must be super rich. She seems like she like grew up in a wealthy area and...
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I just assume most of them are wealthy to go to that school, unless it's said otherwise.
Unless they put in big letters, Kimberly's
unless they work at the cafe with Kimberly.
Yeah.
The three of them are not rich. Everyone else, rich.
They spend more than $40 on jeans.
Yeah.
So then they take her mom... Yeah, I think the three of them go outside and okay, as an adult, I see what her dad's saying. I love Bella, but like it is a lot of money. Like it wouldn't be the worst thing to take some classes that, you know, could teach you some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this conversation by the dumpster was pretty deep for trash talk.
good one.
I don't know. I agree. And especially if they're paying out of pocket, I would feel nervous. And if she doesn't really have a major anyway, and all she wants to do is write comedy, like, what is the harm in just taking the classes they want her to take?
Yeah, yes. I like the compromise that her mom gave, but that class must be so hard, I'm guessing.
It is. So here's my, because for the most part, I'm very like, oh, it's free spirit, kumbaya. But I grew up obviously not like that. So every now and then, my strict immigrant background comes in.
Yeah.
I'm just like, why would you waste all of that money at school for that major? So like, I honestly feel like, because I support her dreams, like, you know, go girl. But I feel like because there are, especially in areas like liberal arts and communication or arts or things like that, and no judgment to people with art degrees, you go people, but it's like, do you really need a degree in that? Like, really? So I feel like if you're going to spend all of the money for school, it should go towards a degree that you need a degree, like that you need a degree for. And then you take your extra classes in the areas that interest you. Because half the time when you get a degree anyways, like most of them are like general ed classes anyways. And then you get into like the specifics. So I feel like I, especially if I'm paying for school, would want you to get a degree in something you need a degree in. And then I'm totally fine if all your general or your all your elective classes are in comedy and writing and all that stuff. So yes. That's how I would land on things.
Yeah, very well said. And I got the sense, I'm like totally assume making a lot of assumptions, but because when her dad said this school is very expensive, I got the sense that like they make too much to get financial aid, but they've like they put all their extra money like to her education. Like it's not like they're Layton's family. Right. So it is like if it's a stretch for them to send her to that school, they should, she should, I don't know, do some things they say.
Yeah, because I mean, you definitely do learn stuff. So it's not like there's nothing to be learned. But like how much schooling do you need to be a comedy writer versus, you know, like having a degree? Like I'd rather you take a year off and go do your thing than me spend like 40 grand for you to take a class to, you know, figure out the sentence structure of a joke.
I totally. Wonder if they have classes like that.
They do.
But I'm ba. A whole class just on perfecting that sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think she picked that college specifically for the Catalan or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's all you really need to do. So just take real classes.
Right.
Yeah. I hope she actually does take the biochem class. I don't, yeah. But also, like, I wonder, because I know I went to school with a lot of kids who like Indian kids who were like top of their high school class and then pre-med and then like took classes and failed them. And that was like a big shock. And that's why they didn't. And I wonder if that would happen to her too.
Yeah, probably. And honestly, it's not, there's no reason for her to take that class if she's not actually going to major in something that needs it. She needs to take, you know, the whole major courses because great, she's going to take that neuroscience class next year or whatever it is. But if she's still taking all English or liberal arts classes and she just ends with a liberal arts degree, like, what was the point? It's not right, like you can write on your resume that you took that one course.
If anything, they should have a conversation and compromise. Like, okay, so you don't want to be a doctor. Like, what is a, like, legitimate degree that you could have? Like, maybe you could get a degree in teaching. So yeah. That way you have that to fall back on. And then you could be like the drama teacher at a school if things don't work out in comedy. You know what I mean? Like there's ways to compromise on that.
Yeah, we'll see if that comes up again. Or if she even ends up taking the class. I don't know. But I was glad that her mom seems reasonable.
And her mom is so pretty.
Yeah.
So pretty. Also, my hair is graying like that. And I just love that her mom... Like the actress. Rocks it. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. You should too. It's so cute.
Yeah.
Sadly, I don't have like a college age daughter. So I feel like it's okay well, at a certain age.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gray is very in right now, especially like young with gray hair. It's so pretty.
Okay.
It's very in.
I need to look in the mirror and say that.
Yeah, but live your life, because I get my roots colored like nonstop. So me and my highlights and my Sphinx will also cling to youth. As I'm like, yeah, go gray. Yeah.
Be careful with the Sphinx.
As I fall out of the chair, you guys hear just me collapse. I don't have Sphinx on right now.
Okay, sorry. I keep saying because there's so many characters in this episode and there's so many separate storylines, even though they're all at the same table. Nico and Kimberly are speaking French to each other, and I was kind of surprised that Leighton's parents didn't know what they were saying.
At all.
Yeah.
And once again, I will come here to defend Kimberly's French, because like in her initial French, when she knew the words for dog groomer, she knows purse hook in French.
Right.
You're fluent in French if you know purse hook. Like, you're good.
Well, if you're majoring in French, I would assume you're fluent in French. She would have had 4 years of it in high school.
What was the name of the class that she was taking where the professor was like, you're not at this level? Was it like French history?
Yeah,
something?
It was like French history or history of French something. History is French Revolution, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was because if her teacher's saying she's not up to par, I'm like, she knows purse hook. She gets an A. It's crazy.
So then I guess that's where we see Nico and Kimberly flirting.
Yeah,
so cute. This is my favorite part of the episode, because what they were saying in French was so hilarious to me for some reason.
I like the bonding.
And her threatening suicide with a purse hook.
Yes. And how she looked in that dress.
She looked so great. I'm so glad that she's taking the cleavage pointers. She's letting them all out, and she does have great tits. So
she does.
Wouldn't that be a great reunion dress?
Yes, wow. It would. Well, I always love a sequins moment. If there's a dress with sequins, I'm there for it.
Same. I sparkle as a hobby. I try to be in full sequin at all times.
Mm-hmm.
With your Spanx underneath?
With my Spanx underneath, yeah. When you dress as a disco ball, you've got to also look snatched.
Yeah. Okay, so then Whitney, I'm not doing this in the right order, but Whitney finally says her dad isn't coming, and Leighton's dad is such a dick. I can't believe he said work emergency. I thought he was a musician. Like, who does that?
By that point, it was so on par for him. I was not surprised.
Yeah. Privileged people, obviously, that think they can say whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, also, I hate that it was, like, the only Black family, and it's the Black absent dad, and you know.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I noticed that, too.
I felt like Leighton's dad was probably thinking that in his head, too.
Yeah. Like a deadbeat dad, of course.
Yeah, probably.
But thankfully, Sherry Shepherd stands up for her, and she was like, do not make my daughter feel bad. And I was really proud of her for that.
Yeah.
Amazing. Because I would have cried at the table.
I would have too. Mm-hmm. And he even says sorry, which is good.
Yeah.
I wonder what everyone ordered. I feel like we didn't really see their food that much, except for that rack of lamb. Which
and the salad. We saw the salad forever. And I was like, okay, what else?
So the credit cards are coming back, and I was so cringing when Leighton's dad was like, why is your credit card in here?
I was dying.
And then to go around the table and say, they paid, here's the senators. Like, why? That was so unnecessary for me.
Yeah, did he have to do that?
Like, why can he not play it off? Especially if you have that kind of money. I would just be like, okay, well, here's your card, here. And then just not say anything. And then in the car, you can ask her, why was your card in there?
I guess we're just supposed to assume he's just super oblivious.
Yeah, that it would never even occur to him that his daughter was trying to help, like, her friend.
Hurt.
But then Kimberly admits, and I felt so bad for Kimberly when she was like, no, I asked her to. And you could just see her mom's face look so hurt. Mm. And... Then, so she took out cash, right? It looks like she was taking out. How much cash did she have? I was trying to look.
Yeah, oh, there was a five in there. So I thought they were small bills.
There was a five?
Yeah, it's probably smaller bills. Looking at it, and I was like, this probably wasn't even enough to cover this dinner, babe.
It probably wasn't. But, you know, I felt so bad for Kimberly. Like, I've been in those situations before. I remember, like, feeling really, like, cringy because my mom, my sister, I think, graduated, and we went out with her, well, her now husband, but her boyfriend and their family. And since it was her graduation, oh no, they were married. It was from nursing school. Okay, yeah, they're married. But anyways, so my mom was like, I'll pay for everyone. And their dad offered to pay. And my mom was like, no, you know, it was Dee Dee's graduation, I'll pay. But like, my mom doesn't, you know, she's a nurse's aide, she's a CNA. So she doesn't make a ton. And like, their family owns their own business and like has money. So I was like, great, they'll pay. She's like, no, I got it. And it was so like, ugh, you know, like you just feel that feeling when you know your parents don't really have it. Like, I knew her well enough to know she wasn't going to offer to pay if she didn't have it. But I also knew she would be like Kimberly's mom, where she would have had to save up to pay for that. It ended up being like $300 or $400 for that, because it was a big group of us. And I just know that, like, how much that impacted her paycheck versus like how much it would have impacted their paycheck.
Yeah. You
know? But it's hard because I know parents have pride and you don't want to take that away from them. But as the kid too, you just feel like it's just awkward. And it's hard when you know that it's really like impacting your parents, and especially when it's something that they're doing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it seems like this is the first time she's ever had to like confront it in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause I think she was like obliviously poor, you know, like, because she probably grew up around people that were of similar economic background. So they weren't going to fancy French restaurants. They were going to Applebee's.
Yeah.
And so it's not really a big deal, you know?
Yeah. Like, she probably grew up comfortably middle class. And, yeah, like, they're very much upper middle class.
Because we see her dad later, and I think he's, like, the manager of a Walgreens or something. Mm-hmm. So, that's, I'm sure that's, like, comfortable in whatever town they're in, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then her, so she apologizes to her mom after dinner when they're walking back, and her mom's like, what code is that? I know that's not the one you sent. I sent you. And she was like, oh yeah, it's Layton's. But we didn't see that scene, did we?
No, I don't remember it.
Of her getting her coat?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that her mom was like, oh, you've changed, like, not in a bad way, but just to let you know you've changed. But it's like, of course she's changed. Like, that's what college is going to do.
Yeah.
To you, you know?
What exactly was her mom trying to say, though? Like, changed in what way?
Well, I think she was saying she was trying to fit in. Like, that she didn't feel secure in who she was.
Okay. Yeah, I think, like, maybe before, like you mentioned, like, I think she was more comfortable. So it's not something that she would have noticed or thought she had to change. But now that she feels like she's not up to scratch, like, I think maybe she senses that Kimberly might feel like she's not good enough compared to the wealth of everyone else. And it's making her change and be more insecure than she's used to Kimberly being in the past.
Yeah.
But I also thought, I would assume that if she sent her one jacket for all of winter, that it would be like a very warm, like, snow jacket. And I don't think that would be weird that she borrowed a pea coat, you know, like a dress coat for a dressy dinner when they're both coming in full glam.
Right. Yeah.
So now I'm thinking, like, I hope Kimberly does have a warm coat. She's probably never had to have one in Arizona. Does she know how cold Vermont or whatever gets?
Well, she said she sent her a coat, so.
Yeah, I'm assuming it would be warm.
Okay.
I feel like her mom would get it, would think, like, we need down. We need warmth here.
You need boots. You need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we see Whitney and her mom after, and Whitney is really glad that her mom kind of stood up for her, and her mom was like, your dad sucks, he doesn't say deadbeat, but
basically,
yeah, he doesn't deserve a pedestal. And that's when I was like, oh, that's why she's with the coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt for the mom though too, when, you know, she's like, he doesn't show up and you idolize him and I show up and you hate me. Because it's easy to be someone's favorite when you're not there to...
Yeah, when you're not the bad guy.
Yeah.
You're not the disciplinarian. You're not the one that, you know, is strict and makes them eat their vegetables and go to sleep.
I'm sure when she is with him, he like takes her out to clubs when he's playing and stuff, and she can kind of do what she wants.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely super fun.
And he has a lot less chances to disappoint her, right? So like, yes, he didn't show up to this dinner, but like, how many times has she tried to talk to her mom and been blown off? And so even though her mom is there, in her mind, her mom's not making time for her, is not there for her. But it's really just because she has more opportunities to disappoint her, but that stands out in her mind more.
True. And afterwards, Leighton and Alicia, what were they watching? It looked like it could be The Bachelor, but I'm not a Bachelor expert. Or
it looked like it was supposed to be something like The Bachelor.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I don't know if it was actually The Bachelor because I don't watch it either, but I'm assuming that's what they were going for.
But that was cute. It was a cute scene.
It was so cute. I like Leighton so much now, guys.
I know. She's really grown.
She's definitely grown on me.
And so I guess after Kimberly walks her mom back to her hotel, she goes to Nico's house and he's like, oh, so for what it's worth, I don't think you're like poor. And she's like, I am poor. It's okay.
Yeah. Which is good. I think that's kind of what her mom wants her to sort of own, not own the poorness, but just like, hey, this is who I am, and there's nothing wrong with it. Because the thing is, a lot of times, like, when people deny certain things about them, it's almost like saying, like, there's something wrong with this, when there isn't. So I think it's good that she's owning it.
And then they kiss, and then they kind of do a little banter, like, oh, I have to get a lot of sleep, you can't stay over. Did you think it was weird where, like, they kiss once, and then he's like, oh, so let's go up to my bedroom?
No, she said it.
Oh, she said it.
Yeah.
Then he was like, oh, I need to sleep or something. And she's like, oh, okay.
He's like, I should get a full 8 hours. And he's like, just kidding. But I'm such, I don't know. I probably have terrible taste, in at least in fake people, like fake men, because I love Danny Castellano too.
Yeah.
And I thought this was so charming and so cute. And I'm so conflicted about Nico. It's just really hard for me.
Well, I mean, I think without spoiling it for anyone, I think once we get to the end, we're no longer conflicted.
Yes.
Right?
That's a very non-spoilery way of putting it. You know, do you think he kind of does look like Danny with the dark hair?
Yes. Yeah. I love. But I think my problem is, obviously, I'm mad at him for what happens. But, like, when you go back and watch in retrospect, knowing what you find out, it doesn't discredit the moments for me.
Is that because it doesn't discredit it, or is it because he's so hot that you forgive him?
Both.
Because that's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have, like, pretty issues about people being beautiful, and I can just, I'm like, oh, whatever they say. But
don't feel bad I was just going to say, like, don't feel bad because that's, like, a human thing. Like, there was, I forgot the name of the play, but, like, when everyone read it, they were like, oh, this character is super bad. But then when it was, like, done, and I think it was, like, Marlon Brando or somebody, he was so hot that everyone's like, he's not that bad. Like, it's
a Streetcar Named Desire.
Oh, probably. He was so hot in that movie.
Hey, Stella!
Oh,
that's what my dog is named after. So, yeah, obsessed with him. But I don't know. I feel like that he genuinely likes Kimberly, though. That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't discredit. Because I do feel like the moments are genuine and he genuinely likes her. Like, I don't think he's trying to play her and just be an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he play her and is he an ass? Totally.
Yeah.
But I don't know. So.
There's that whole intent versus impact thing.
Yes.
Right. I think he did make her feel better at the end, too.
Yeah, because he says she belongs. It's cute.
Yeah.
So that was the parents' weekend episode. A lot happened.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the best of the season, though, for sure.
Yeah.
So you two, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you online and, you know, what you do again?
Sure, I'll go first, I guess. So you can find me on Instagram at That African Butterfly. That's what I am on YouTube as well. I'm on Twitter a little bit, but the best place is Instagram. It has my links to all of my stuff, and you can see me talking about serious things and also being silly.
You can find our podcast anywhere you podcast. It's Housewives Heretics, and we go through old Housewives episodes and judge them. And you can follow us on Instagram at Housewives Heretics, and I'm at Kalindi.
And they make fun cocktails for every episode, so.
Yes, we're alcoholics.
Fun. Yeah. And you can find me at Project Mindy on Instagram and Project Mindy Pod on Twitter. And we will be back soon with the next episode of The Sex Lives of College Girls. If you want to hear about anything or cover anything else Mindy related, just DM me and we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.